Harry has been in a series on giving up things during the process of Lent, and this morning's topic was giving up enemies. And when he called me Friday night and we talked on Saturday and he wasn't going to be able to be here this morning, I researched the scriptures, and usually I kind of pick a different topic. And this morning I was kind of enthralled with this topic, so I'm going to steal his message. And if he does have one on this that he's going to use later, just act like I never talked about giving up enemies, and that's a fair exchange. Everybody in with me? Okay. The word enemy or enemies is mentioned 109 times in the Bible. Now, depending on your translation, it may be a few more or a few less. We know which one I researched, right? So, 98 times in the Old Testament and 11 times in the New Testament. Now, the majority of the entries in the Old Testament is talking about the enemies of the Israelites. Example, Numbers 10, verse 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. 2 Samuel 22. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. 1 Kings 8. If thy people go out in battle against their enemy, whatsoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name. 2 Chronicles. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Esther. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jew's enemy. So the Old Testament, primarily the use of the word enemy, is in an opposing foe. Someone that you consider your enemy. Yet in the New Testament, the word enemy is typically referring to the devil, the evil one. So as we transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have a different reference for the word enemy. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In Matthew 13 is the parable of the tares in the field. Do you remember the parable of the tares? It's the one right after the parable of sowing the wheat on rocky ground, on good ground, on fertile ground. So this is the parable of the tares. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Later in that chapter, the disciples asked Jesus to explain what the parable meant. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And then one other reference in Acts 13. And he said, O full of all subtlety and of all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Almost 50% of the books of the Bible contain a reference to the word enemy. However, it's in the book of Psalm where the word appears the most. 26 times it's used by King David in his Psalms. And it is used in both perspectives, reference to the earthly enemies, as well as to the enemy that persecuted his soul. Many of you know I was in the military. And in the military, you're taught to quickly identify your enemies and assess the threat that's facing you. In the Marine Corps, I was a tanker. It was an M60A1 Rise. And there are basically four personnel to a tank, at least the M60 version. There's the driver, the loader, the gunner, and the tank commander. Typically, you start out as a driver. As you hone your skills as a driver, you get promoted up to a loader. And as you hone your skills as a loader, you get promoted up to being the gunner. And then, as you hone your skills as a gunner and you prove leadership ability, you become a tank commander. Typically, a tank commander is an E5 or a sergeant. As the driver, your focus is exclusively on the vehicle. Taking care of the vehicle, its capabilities, where it can go, where it cannot go. Always presenting the least image to your enemies or to the opposing force, the exposure on the battlefield. It's up to the driver to get the vehicle where it needs to go to carry on the fight. As the loader, your focus changes to the ammunition carried in the tank for the main gun. Knowing all the different types of ammunition, the different types of rounds, where they're placed, how they're stored, and then taking care of them and managing to load them as they're needed, as well as the spent casings every time a round is expended. His focus is solely on getting the correct type of round loaded within the breech of the main gun and readying the gun for firing. Now, as a gunner, your focus shifts again to the aiming of the main battle tank gun, the targeting computer, the indexing of the type of round selected. His job is to validate that the target is hostile and ensure a first-round hit. Lastly, the tank commander. You're responsible for the safe running and effectiveness of the entire vehicle as well as the crew. You work with the other elements of the platoon to ensure effective use of tactics. Your focus has moved from just within the vehicle to being part of a larger group, a larger force. You identify and prioritize the targets for the crew to engage on the battlefield. While each crew member has a specific area of expertise, we were all continually trained on identifying our enemies. In fact, we used to have playing cards. I know we're not supposed to mention cards in church, but they weren't playing cards. They were imagery cards. They had silhouettes on them of all different types of vehicles, NATO, U.S., and of course, our enemy. Who was our enemy when I was in the 80s? Russia, USSR. So we had to identify T-72 tanks. But it wasn't just tanks, it was personnel carriers, it was helicopters, it was aircraft. We focused most of our time on being able to identify our targets. The rest of the time was spent on what? Being proficient in the capacity that we were in. Driver, loader, gunner, or a tank commander. It was everyone's responsibility to know our enemy, what their tactics are, how they moved, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were. Not unlike those in the Old Testament, we were focused on peoples who wanted to change our way of life, our way of government, and our freedom. A lot of time and effort spent on identifying enemies. Are we this tenacious in our spiritual lives? Do we spend this much effort and time on looking at those things around us? Do we seek to know the ways of our enemy, the evil one? Do we identify his methods of undermining our commitment to God? Do we recognize his constant nagging about things not going our way? People not noticing us as individuals. Not being recognized for our efforts at work. Or how we haven't been treated fairly like everybody else. Do we recognize his influence in the tearing down of the family unit in our society through the entertainment media and political organizations? or the unacceptable individual behavior that society tells us is acceptable. The constant comparison of how our Christian-based country is intolerant. Continuing the conflicts that occurred in this country over 200 years ago, bringing them back to life to increase daily conflict. Changing academia to teach less strict rights and wrongs. Forcing the adoption of moderation and that everything is equal. Less focus on being successful. These are methodologies that our enemy of today uses. Are we tenacious about identifying them? Or do we get caught up in the emotionalism of what's going on? We should never forget that it is the evil one who has dominion here on earth. He is constantly enforcing what he provoked Adam and Eve with in the Garden of Eden. Don't you want to be as knowledgeable as God? Don't you want to be as knowledgeable as God? Isn't that what he provoked then? Do you not see it today in our society? Through our humanistic hunger for knowledge, he is tearing down the very fabric of our Christian beliefs. And through our self-awareness, he drives the internal desires of self-fulfillment. I desire this. It's only fair. If I don't look out for me, no one will. It's all about me. There is a subtle difference between these two statements. Forgiving your enemies and giving up your enemies. In the first case, you recognize that you have enemies. People out to do you harm, and you are called to forgive them. No greater example of this is there than from Jesus on the cross. When he cried out to his Father in heaven while he was being crucified, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The people there had been driven to the decision emotionally and politically. Yes, we should continue to forgive our enemies and pray for those who seek to do us harm. Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." But the phrase "giving up your enemies" has a whole different connotation. It means that you no longer have enemies. From your personal perspective, no one is your enemy. It doesn't mean that others may call you their enemy, but that you have made the decision that you do not have enemies. We should all strive to take this position in every aspect of our lives. Ignoring the evil one in this world. Can you think or name an enemy that you have? Are they truly your enemy? Or are they just someone that has a different opinion than you? Can you truthfully say that you have enemies? People who are making it their life's work to do you harm, or ruin you, or injure those you love. I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about this. And I have to say, I can't think of a single person I consider an enemy. Someone that I truly believe is out to harm me or my family. I pray that is the case for each of you as well. But if not, please spiritually consider giving up your enemies. We only have one. And it's none of the people that live on this earth with us. It is the one that is inciting them to change our lives, our morals, our fabric of life, and sadly, our Christian country. And for those who consider themselves your enemy, continue to forgive and pray for them. I truly believe that it is only through sharing our redemption through Christ that we can change the world around us, give up our enemies, and restore that which we have lost in our society. As Debbie sang so beautifully earlier, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when strivings cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand. Let us pray. Our Father, your word tears at our hearts because it's so easy for us to say we have an enemy and to strike out at one another just because we have a different opinion. Lord, help us unite ourselves that there is one true enemy in this world, and it is the devil. The one who seeks to be your equal, the one that was cast out and is now teaching mankind to be your equal. We have lost sight of why we were created. We were created for fellowship with you. Father, renew our hearts. Renew our minds. May we leave this place seeing no enemies in our lives. Only the love of Christ in whom alone we stand that we share with others. May we be committed Christians, Lord. For we ask this in your name. Amen.